Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have God been good to you? If God has been good to you, I want you to hear, I want you to shout with everything you have now. Hallelujah. Now this is church. So I want you to do something. It doesn't matter how people look at you when you do it. I want you to do something. Everywhere we go, people look at us weird if we get too close. But this is church. So I want you to be respectful. I want you to lay hands on somebody's shoulder right now. To your right, to your left, behind you, in front of you. And I want you to take a minute and pray for that person. And I mean pray for that person. You are laying hands on that person. And if you have faith, your prayer will have power. So I want you to pray. I want you to pray to God to heal this person, to restore his life or her life, to touch them, to open doors for them. In Jesus' mighty name, I want to hear young people praying in the spirit. I want to hear you praying in tongues. I want to hear you even casting out demons. I want to hear you right now letting the Holy Spirit loose, touching that young man and that young lady in the name of Jesus. Come on, come on, S.Y.A. I want to hear people pray. Come on. We are the body of Christ. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Whatever is afflicting you, whatever is bringing anxiety to you, whatever is stressing you, right now, we cast it out of your life in Jesus' mighty name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be free in Jesus' name. Be restored in Jesus' name. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Now the anointing of the Holy Spirit is in this place. I want you to allow yourself to be used by God to bless this young man and this young lady. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to touch them through you in Jesus' name. Let your power flow, Lord. Let your glory flow, Lord. Let your anointing break the yoke now in Jesus' name. Deliverance tonight in Jesus' name. Now I want you to lift up your hand and start thanking God. Now if you believe something has happened, I want you to thank God. If you believe in miracles, if you believe in prayer, if you believe in the power of faith, if you believe in the power of God, I want you to take a minute and thank God. Thank God for a miracle. Thank God for something supernatural happening right now in your home, in your family, in your school. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We declare tonight that whatever the devil intended to do in our lives is broken now by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, I want you to shout to the Lord. come on. Hallelujah. 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 You just gave the devil a headache. See, you can go to any sport event and you will hear people shouting. But even though you hear people shouting, you don't see the walls collapsing. But when the people of God, if there is any one of them, when the people of God shout, the walls come down. And that is exactly why the devil hates your shout. See, the devil doesn't really mind anybody shouting when they're sinning and smoking and drinking. But when the church shouts, something happened in the spirit. Can I hear an amen? So I'm gonna count to three, and we are going to believe that the same God that brought down the walls of Jericho is gonna bring down walls in this generation tonight by the power of God. Are you ready? One, get ready, get ready, get ready. Two, three. Witchcraft are coming down. The walls of fear are coming down. In Jesus' name. I said, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you tonight for every young lady and every young man. I know, Lord, that I'm standing before a generation that will literally down the kingdom of darkness. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for their lives and the anointing that is coming upon them. Lord, we thank you tonight, and we are going to pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In this generation, we will see a Lord in our homes. We will see a Lord in our families. We will see a Lord in our disciples. We will see it. We will see the manifestation of your kingdom, bringing your will to pass in this generation. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. If you believe it, say amen. Take too long. That's the first light I said today. And for some of you that are here for the first time, I don't know how to sing, but I do know how to preach with a sexy accent. So I'm gonna hit you and I'm gonna run, because I run out of English in more or less 30 minutes. 20 to 30 minutes. Se fue el inglés y comenzó el español. So I'm going to try to hit you quick. But I need to tell you something, because I need you to take something tonight to your homes. See, I'm going to talk to you for a minute or two about a visitation. I want you to say the visitation. There was a young man named Gideon. And that young man was visited by an angel. But this is a crazy thing. He was visited by an angel in the worst time of the church. Now, how many of you understand that no matter how hard things get, God will always show up? No. I was expecting something better. Here we go. No matter how bad things get, God will always show up. God will never be intimidated by the devil. It doesn't matter what the devil does in any generation, God will always show up. Listen up. In Jesus' name, do not get intimidated by what the news every day portray. God is about to show up in this generation, and we're about to see one of the greatest revivals we've ever seen. Gideon was in a tough situation, and God showed up. But this is what's crazy. Now listen up. When the angel showed up, that angel told Gideon, I'm about to do something great. And you're not going to believe what I'm going to tell you. You are the chosen one. You are the one that God is going to work in this generation through. And obviously, anybody might say, oh my God, what a privilege. Gideon was happy. No, he wasn't. Gideon did not get happy. Gideon got frustrated. And that's the same situation that every one of you is living. How do I know that? Because God called me when I was 15 years old. And when he called me, that was the worst day of my life. And you know why? Because instead of me looking at God, I turned my eyes into myself. And I started looking at me. And I started saying, it is impossible that God is going to use something like me. If I was God, I wouldn't call myself. I said, it is impossible that everything God is saying is going to happen through me. And many of you are right there right now. You're saying, God, I know you're calling me to do something, but I don't feel I can do anything. And the devil will help you destroy your self-confidence. He will say, you're too ugly. You're too fat. You're too crazy. You're too unholy. You are messed up. You see, and that's what happened to me. I was 15 years old. God started talking to me about the nations of the world. And I was a little kid in Santo Domingo, República Dominicana. ¿Vieron cómo dije Santo Domingo en inglés? Yo dije, I'm not a baseball player, neither a merenguero or bachatero. I ain't going nowhere. How can God take me into the nations of the world? Today, I stand before you and I tell you, I've traveled the whole world preaching the gospel. But back then, I didn't believe in myself. Because I didn't believe in one of the most important principles of the victories of God. And this is the principle I want you to take home tonight. And I want you to digest it. And I want you to think about it. And I want you to write it up. And I want you to literally repeat it. And this is it. It is not about you. It is about God. It's true, you're not good enough. It's true, you're not sharp enough. But you have a God that is so powerful that whenever he chooses someone, it is not about us. See, that was the problem Gideon had. He said, oh, Lord, I can't do this. I'm the least. I'm poor, and I don't have a talent, and I don't have... Of course, he got discouraged. Because when God calls us to do something great, you don't look at you, you look at him. Listen up. Victories in the spirit happen not because of us, but because of many factors orchestrated by God. Next week, we're going to be in Pachuca, Mexico. And we're going to see thousands upon thousands of people coming to Christ. And we're going to see healings and miracles. And we're going to see some stuff wonderful. I'm going to be in shock. Listen up. We already started receiving testimonies of what's happening only because we're announcing the crusade. So people looking at the TV, at the TV or Facebook or whatever, they get so excited and they notice that the arthritis is gone. We're receiving testimonies. Before we got there, God is already working miracles. Because it's not about us. I said it's not about us. There are many, many factors that had to do with victories in the spirit. And I'm going to give you five, and I want you to take this. The first factor about miracles, about God using a person, is the power of prayer. You see, Gideon didn't know that people were praying for God to intervene. In verse 6, the Bible says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now listen to me. I am going to Pachuca, but it's because there are people interceding, calling on God, fasting and praying, that God will send a man of God to set the captives free. And I'm going to show up, but I have no merit. The people that pray for that to happen have the merit of what's going to happen. Gideon didn't know that. Gideon didn't know that there were thousands upon thousands of people calling out to God. God, we need you to raise somebody. We need you to do something. So I don't know who I'm talking to, but maybe you're sitting here, or you're watching this in the different platforms. But listen up. There is people praying that God will use you. And guess what? God will answer that prayer. He's going to use you. He's going to raise you. He's going to anoint you. Before I got to where I am, there are thousands and millions of prayer. People were praying and fasting, even generations before, were calling out to God to raise a ministry like the one we are, like the one we have today. Do not be fooled by the enemy. It's not about us, but about the power of prayer. It's about God being faithful to his own word to someone that prayed for something to happen. How many of you have prayed for revival? How many of you have prayed for God to move in our generation? How many of you have prayed for miracles? How many of you have prayed for a visitation from heaven? You see, because of that prayer, God will raise you. You are the answer to some of those prayers. So when God starts calling you, don't do like Gideon did. He looked at him. When victory many times happens because someone has prayed for God to do something. Can I hear an amen? I am the answer of God's, of someone's prayer to God. I'm not that great. I just happen to be available. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not that sharp. But I understood long time ago that it wasn't about me, but about God. The second thing that I want you to get tonight is, if it's not about us, what is it about? It is about the Word of God. See, when you read the text, in verse 8, the Bible said that God sent a prophet. I want you to say a prophet. And the prophet told the people of God, because they were praying, and when you start praying, God start moving. And the prophet told the people of God, thus saith the Lord, God is about to turn things around. So Gideon didn't know that. So when the angel comes and said, I want to use you, he said, oh no, I'm too stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. It didn't matter how stupid he was. What matters is that God said that he was going to turn things around and he was going to use this guy to do it. So when God starts moving you to do something great, understand there are promises that God has made that can only be fulfilled when you run with your assignment. See, there's so many elements in a victory, and you are the least of them. When God needed to fulfill that word, he chose this guy. I love this passage in scripture that it says that Jesus sent a couple of guys to get a donkey. They went, got the donkey, gave it to Jesus. Jesus got on top of the donkey and they came into Jerusalem and everybody was screaming. And the Bible says, and they did this that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. So it is incredible that we are literally the people that have the power to fulfill the will of God and the word of God. Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? I'm not going to Pachuca. I love the name Pachuca. It sounds cool. Pachuca. There's no way to say that. Pachuca. Say it around. It's sexy. Pachuca. Like you say it with the con el ombligo. Pachuca. I'm not going there because I'm the best. I'm going there because God promised someone that someone will be there to proclaim the word of God. I'm fulfilling the word of the living God. So it's not about us. It's about him. Can I hear an amen? So it is kind of crazy when God starts saying, I'm going to use you. And you start saying, no, I'm not good enough. He knows that. He knows that. See, that's a narcissistic way to see things. You know, when God tells you, I'm going to use you, you got to stop looking at you like you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. You need to understand that it's not about you, but about the word of God that needs to be fulfilled for some people. And you are the fulfillment of that word. Amen. Gideon didn't know that. He had no idea that a prophet said that God was about to turn things around. And the same way, when something happened and you took a step of faith, maybe you don't know that God promised something to someone, and that there was a purpose. Even before you were born, there was a purpose for you to be in that place. Listen to what I'm going to tell you, and this is going to freak you out. I have a friend. He's a missionary. And he went deep into the jungle in Mexico. And he got to this village and he preached, and so many miracles took place. And so many people gave their life to the Lord. And a lady, an old lady, came and said, "Sir, we've been waiting for you." And he said, "You've been waiting for me?" "Yeah. My grandfather gave me this picture and told me that a young preacher one day will come and the whole village will get saved. And when he saw the picture," and he showed me the picture, "when he saw the picture, it was him in a picture of the 1920s, 1930s, more or less." I couldn't believe it. I thought he was joking around. But he turned the picture around, and there's a certification that this picture was for real. There was no alterations. And it was him preaching just exactly like he did. And I'm going to tell you something. You are part of prophecies that you don't even understand. So it's not even about you, but about the word of God. Amen. A brother came the other day and he hugged me and he told me, "Pastor, you know something? We tried to buy this building for 8 years. We have 485 churches around the world. We had the finances, we had everything, the lawyers, everything. And we tried to buy this building, but we couldn't buy it. They didn't sell it to us. No matter how much we try to sue them, we try to do everything, and they didn't buy it. And when you step in, they gave it to you. And I'm just going to tell you this, and I need you to understand, you have this building because God determined that you were going to have it." There are prophecies. I said there are prophecies. There are promises. And you might not even know about him. But when God starts moving you to do something, do it in Jesus' name. I'm sure the disciples never thought. I'm sure they never thought that taking a donkey to Jesus was the fulfillment of prophecy. But it was. But it was. Gideon didn't know that, but now you know it. So it didn't set well with God when he said, "I am not too bright." God said, "I know that, but I made promises that you will fulfill." Amen. If it's not about us, what is it about? It's about God's purpose. Verse 8 and verse 9. It says, "I set my people free from Egypt that they might rule and reign." So it is important for you to understand. You might not be the greatest thing in the world, but you will be used by God to bring authority to people that were determined to do something even greater than you. Our purpose, and I don't even like to call it our purpose, because it is not our purpose, it is God's purpose. But God's purpose is greater than us. And what God has determined, that something is going to happen, someone will make it happen. And guess what? It might be you. If you stop saying Anna now, it's not about you. It's about God's purpose. Amen. We might not be the greatest ministry, man, but this is a great conference. It is our third one this year. And this is a great conference simply because God determined this conference to take place here. Sometimes pastors come to me and say, hey, I don't understand how you can bring so many people to your conference and all that. I said, I don't either. Because what they think is this guy must have all kinds of relationship and all that. And in a way, it's true. I do. But man, it's not about me. It's about the purpose of God. I receive invitation from ministries that I've never seen these people. They have never seen me personally. And I travel all over the world. And I get to some places. This is not a lie. I got to Copenhagen the other day. And I'm, you know, I usually travel like this, you know, like, you know, however it's more comfortable. And I, you know, I got to the airport and they're very formal. And there are two guys with three-piece suit, you know, with this. Bishop Rudy Gracia. And I just say, hey. I said, sir, move along. I don't know how they didn't give a picture of me to these people. And I say, it's me. Me who? Rudy Gracia. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Come in. These people don't even know who I am. But God had a purpose. I went to that conference and they laughed at my jokes and they were dying. They were from all Scandinavian, all pastors, and they died from Scotland, from Greenland, and they're laughing. And finally, you know, I said, how can they laugh at these jokes, man? They're Dominican jokes, man. They don't even know what Dominicans are. So I went to them and I told the translator, hey, please, come ask them if they understand my Dominican jokes. That's why they laughing so much. So when the guy said, do you understand his Dominican jokes? Because you guys are laughing. They said, no way, but his face is so funny. They were laughing at me, not with me. How is that possible? God determines something and then he picks whoever he wants. For some reason, I was the key person. Oh, that was nice. Sounded like Antonio Bandera. The key person to be in that place and release the anointing of God and give these people a word to fulfill the purpose of God. And the same thing will happen to you. So cut it out with the I don't know. As long as God knows, it will be okay. Amen. If it's not about us, what is it about? It's about the sovereignty of God. In verse 10, the Lord said, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. Now listen to me. You will have victories that have nothing to do with you, but it has a lot to do with God defeating the enemy. Do you understand? And you will walk away thinking that you are super anointed. But that might not be true. It's just that God was really mad at the devil. And that day he said, I'm gonna kill them all. And you're there thinking, oh my God. And you, psh, 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 psh. And God is just killing the enemy, destroying the enemy, setting people free. Why? Because God was mad at them demons. So God tell Gideon, tranquilo, be cool, relax. I told you that English was going to fly out of me. You know, I'm running out of English right now. Pero le dijo, date quieto, chico. Le dijo, tranquilo, relax. Because I am here and I'm about to do what I'm going to do, because I'm going to show the gods of the Amorites that I am the Lord thy God. My God. So how crazy it is that Gideon was saying, oh my God, I want to be like my cousin. Are you serious? See, we're living in a generation that is under the curse of Instagram. And I said a curse because it can become a curse to a lot of people. We're on Instagram, we have 1 million followers. But listen up, the moment you go into Instagram to compare yourself with other people, that's the moment the devil got you. See, the bones of your body are the structure of your body. You are upright because your bones, your structure is well put together. So the Bible said that when you envy someone, you're about to be destroyed. Your structure starts to crumble. So a lot of people don't understand how powerful is envying people to destroy them. And you know what Instagram does? Instagram has a whole bunch of lies. Most things that you have on Instagram is fake. Even chickens know how to strike a pose when someone is eating in a place, because people have to show you even what they're eating. Oh my God, oh my God. And the chicken goes. I'm serious. But all is fake. I love my boo. Yeah, tírate la foto. Loca vieja. That's what Instagram is. Sadly, it is the truth. Most of it, it is like that. And you know why people are suffering so much of a low self-esteem? Because you keep comparing with others. You are unique. You have talents that are unique to you. You have so much value. You're wonderful. You are a key person in the kingdom of God to do something that is even greater than you. That's why you cannot keep going on you. Your eyes shouldn't be on you. They should be on God, His purpose, His word, whatever He wants to do. See, God can use a donkey. Let me put it this way. In that story, in that passage, the donkey became a prophet, and the prophet became a donkey. And we don't understand that when you are in the right place at the right time, God can use you even if you are a donkey. I'm serious when I tell you, I do not believe that I'm the best person to do what I do. But somehow, I'm so glad that God never sees anything the way I see it. He's all God by Himself. And I'm glad. Because if I was God, oh my God. There are two things that I praise God every morning. One, that I'm not God. Because if I was God, I would kill every one of you. I would raise you back up just to kill you again and again. And the second thing that I thank God is that you are not God. because you will kill me so many times that not even the vampires will die as many times as you kill me. God is all God by himself. And I thank him that he sees things very differently than me. Yeah, that was good. I'm going to buy the CD in a little while. And I'm going to finish with this. If it's not about us, but about God, what is it about? It's about his favor. Just what I was saying. He chose you not because you are the best, but because he is the best. Favor is literally something that you do not deserve. So if you feel inadequate, it's because you are. But that doesn't make you less qualified to be used by God. Totally the opposite. That will make you more qualified. Because then you will be raised to do something that is not based on your talent, but in the favor of the Almighty God. See, that's the thing. He called Gideon mighty man of valor. And the guy was hiding because he was scared. Because one thing is that favor will always call the things that are not like if they were. And when God looks at you, he will call you powerful even when you feel that you're not. So you need to understand, when God start dealing with you and he start telling you, I'm going to use you, I'm going to take you here and there, I'm going to give you things that nobody had, I'm going to shake the world through you, understand, it's not because you're good, but because God is good. And God will always see things that man cannot see. When men see a little young kid that talk to animals in the desert, God sees a king like he did in David. See, that's something that you need to understand. What am I trying to say to you tonight? Stop doing what Gideon did. Stop looking at you. Stop delaying what God wants to do through you, trying to be perfect. Like if God is going to call the perfect one. See, God is going to bring perfection to you, but because he is good. And he's going to allow you to do things that you supposedly cannot do in order to bring you to that place of perfection. But if you sit down and you start waiting, oh my God, I got to be this, I got to be this. No, you have everything it takes. If you obey God, he will take you to do things you never imagined possible. Because it is not about you, but about God. Feeling inadequate? Of course, because you are. But the good thing is, it's not about you. It's about God. I want you to stand up tonight. First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 27 says, God chose the foolish to confound the wise. God chose the foolish to confound the wise. What are you trying to say? Are we the foolish ones? Yes. And I am included in that. We are living in a time, and we were raised in an environment where we look at Marvel and we see all these powerful people doing powerful things, and we say, my God, I don't have a superpower. If I say that if you saw Napoleon Dynamite, do I look too old for you? How many of you know who Napoleon Dynamite is? Balse viejo. Pero Napoleon Dynamite decía, was it him or his brother decía that he has numptious skills? It was him.
También eres un viejo, ¿sabes?
But we see people, we see Marvel, and we see all the heroes, and all the heroes have superpowers. And you said, oh my God, do I have superpowers? Only superpowers are comer pastelito y cortadito. How the heck am I going to do something with that? See, but you need to understand that that's a fantasy, and you're living in the reality of the kingdom of God. And in the reality of the kingdom of God, whatever is foolish, when God touches that, it becomes something that will confound the wise. People will always say, I don't understand what's in that man, what's in that young lady, but there's something powerful. And I'm telling you right now, that's called the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I get to nations and presidents want to meet me. Are you kidding? Why? I would say, why? What do they think? What do they think they're going to meet? I mean, seriously. And they take me to the different presidents and dignitaries and all kinds of people, because they want to meet me. They want to shake my hand. They want to hug me. They want to say how blessed they have been. And honestly, just like Paul said, I'm the least of all of them. But you see, that's what God does. See, a guy came to me one day and told me, man, I don't understand how this ministry can grow and reach so many people. I don't get it. I sing better than you, dance better than you, preach better than you. And I told him, that's your problem. You're relying on you. I'm relying on God. Do not make the mistake that Gideon made. When God starts moving you into something greater, when he starts promising you that he's going to use you, when he starts moving and shaking your insides and tell you, I am going to use you mightily, you have to say, here I am, oh Lord, use me. Even if you don't feel adequate, even if you don't feel powerful, even if you don't feel the right person, when God chose you, you respond, yes. Because it is not about us, but about God. So I want to finish tonight. I want to pray tonight. If you feel that this word applies to you, if you feel that God brought you tonight to hear this, if you feel that God is dealing with you, so I want you to step out of your seat and come down. And I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to raise your hands. And if you can pray in the spirit, I want you to pray in the spirit. Come on, come on. I want you to step down. I want you to come down. You see, something that we need to understand as a new generation, and I'm talking about you, not me. Something that we need to understand is that we need to come down to the altar and face God. You see, Gideon had to face God, and God has to take away that inadequacy in order to use him mightily. And I want you to close your eyes and lift up your hands. And anybody that can pray in the spirit, I want you to let it rip. I want you to pray in the spirit. I want you to start praying like you never prayed before. We are going to pray tonight. Any spirit that is holding this generation back, in Jesus' name, you might not be the most adequate person, but God chose you. Come on, everybody praying in the spirit. I want everybody praying in the spirit in the whole auditorium. I want everybody praying in the spirit. If you cannot pray in the spirit, I want you to pray in your understanding. But we're breaking any spirit that is holding this generation back. There are people waiting for one fresh new anointing to be carried by young men and young ladies today. Come on, everybody pray. Vamos, todo el mundo orando.